woke everybody up, didn't it? Nobody sleeping in here? All right, we're good to go. Psalm 139, tell me when you got it. How many of us, God's presence is something that we should really desire to be in and move and really surround us? How many believe His presence will go with us to a job site or to school or home? How many of us that this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? We have God's Spirit in us. So wherever you go, His presence is there. There's a tangible presence of God that I want us all to encounter and experience. Many times that we can get so busy that our thoughts can be so far away from the Lord, even though we're Christians or we're saved. How many of us I'm talking about? But how many want to have always that constant reminder, always that communication with Him? Because the truth is that we need to talk to the Lord. We need it. And He wants it. And He desires it. When it comes to serving Him, it's two levels. One, we serve Him. It means we wait on Him. How many of us, we need to wait on the Lord? How many of us, that's something part of Christianity, wait on the Lord. When it comes to servanthood, servanthood is inconvenience. Oh, I'm preaching now. It requires something of you greater than what we can muster in the natural. It's that time you don't feel like it that you do it. When you want to stay home and do your own thing, but you know you don't need to be there, that's servanthood. It's picking up somebody that you had to go out of the way and it wasn't convenient. Oh, I'm preaching. How many of us, Jesus did that? It was not convenient to go to the cross. Come on. It was not easy. It's like, think about the night he had before. It wasn't like he was in the 5-star hotel. I'm going to walk out, have it end real quick and be done. He had a night with the disciples. Then he was up all night, arrested in the morning by some kangaroo court, judged, beaten, and whipped, and died in the afternoon. How many think that was a pretty cataclysmic day? But he said, for this hour I came into the earth. Shall I now turn it away? He said, no, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. When it comes to His presence, number one, if you're taking notes, His presence is a searching presence. Thank God He searched us out. Now, I played hide and seek when I was growing up. Anybody remember that game? Yeah. How many knows it didn't cost anything? It just a bunch of people. Usually it was done probably, you know, sort of in the dusk area. It was a little bit funner. And then we always played to the place like if you hit so good, the game had a time limit. Because sometimes some of you were so good you never found them. So we'd say, okay, game over. And it's amazing how people would come out. I remember one kid was hiding in a trash can upside down. Of all the places to hide, it was nasty. Remember those old steel cans? It was like, oh, dude. I'm like, you deserve to win, dude. I'm telling you. You're in that thing, you deserve to win. I don't know how many times I walked by. Remember when you had to, you were it? Yeah. And you always said, not it. The last one didn't say it, you were it. I was it. But I remember searching around. Some people I saw, some were like hiding right there. And like, should I say I see you or just walk by for another moment? But if you searched long enough and you had enough time, you usually could find everybody. Yeah. Amen? We used to play hide and seek. I had a dog and we taught him how to play hide and seek. And he was unbelievable at it. And what he would do is that we'd have all the people there, and he would sniff their hands in the beginning. And then we'd have him, and I'd hold him. I'd say, okay, are you guys ready? And I'd play too. Okay, go. I'd go, search out. And he would search out everywhere. And then he would scratch or he would bark, and you'd be caught. You had to be honest. And 100% he caught everybody. Even people who were up in the tree, he would look up there and bark. It was fun. It was fun. It's like you tried to beat him. You could hide here. You could hide here. It didn't matter. He was going to seek you out. How much more the Holy Spirit seeks us out? We need to start as we're praying for our families. The Holy Spirit knows how to search people. Even when we think they're so far gone, He's able to search their hearts. He tries the reins. Lord, I need to be believing you. Look how God found you. Where did he find you? How many times did he find you? In what places did he find you? Sometimes maybe not in the most appropriate place, but he still found you. Amen. In Psalm 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my hearts. Try me and know my thoughts. Look at verse 7. Whether I go from thy spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? When I look at him, he's a searching God. He's a searching presence. Then, Lord, search out. How about this? Lord, search my heart. Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, just remove that. See, that prayer is something that people fear, but it's a good prayer. Because as a father, he'll be gentle with you. He'll say, listen to me. Here's what you're doing right. Here's the areas you need to work on. How many want God to search you? Too many people are like, well, man, if the Lord searches me, he's going to find out I'm really bad, and he's not going to love me, and he's going to tell everybody about it. That's not the God you serve. He'd rather cover your sins than expose them. Say amen. The only time that he has to bring it is when we are unrepentive and he needs to send a servant by to get your attention. But if you judge you, you won't be judged of another, because nobody knows you like you. Well, it's kind of quiet in here. How much, Lord, search me. He's been gentle. If you look at the book of Revelation, the first three chapters, he always spoke to the churches, here's what you're doing right, but here's what you need to correct. And when the Lord says repent, that's a good thing. That's a grace word. That means you have an opportunity to see that situation change. Woe unto us if we live our whole life without repentance. We live our own way. Lord, we need that. Even as Christians, there are times that we blow it. Okay, three of you agree with me. I mean, Lord, I need this changed. I've learned this. You continue in the restoration process. Sooner or later, that dent gets fixed. Amen? I mean, the paint may be still wet yet, but thank God you're not what you used to be. That's why our deep, dark secrets, Lord, they're under the blood. Keep them there. Amen? In Jeremiah 17, verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the hearts and tries the reins. He says this, I'll give every man according to his ways and the fruit of his doings. Since the Lord is a searching God, he will search things out, but he'll also find what he's searching for. Amen? For those who desire to be lost, you know what? I really believe this, that the only way you can go to hell is step over Jesus. I really believe that. There's so much of God's presence. There's so much of a witness in this country. You have to say, I just don't want it. Are you with me? And how much more guilty that'll make everyone who denies him. Jesus said, I'm not going to deny myself. Hello? In Romans 8, verse 27, he says this, he that searches the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit. For this, because the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When God begins to work in us, you know what? We start to understand those things. But also he searches the minds and he knows the hearts. We also in prayer, when we're searching and seeking and praying, Lord, work in that situation. You'd be amazed how the Lord may help you in your prayer time to pray more effectively. Because the Lord's always searching that. He always wants to bring that fresh revelation because we need it. How do we come against an enemy whom we can't see? How can we come against the spirit that covers areas and governments and individuals and territories? We need the mind of Christ. But God will work that out for us all. Say amen. Number two, his presence is a saving presence. In Isaiah 63, verse 9, in all their affliction he was afflicted. How many knows that's so true? In all his days he was afflicted. Was he wounded for our transgressions? Yes or no? Listen to me. Everything he's done. In Romans 3 verse 24. And being freely justified by his grace, we have redemption in Christ. His presence is a saving presence. In this church, we need his presence. Because if he's here, he's able to save. How many want to see our family saved? I just don't want them entertained. I want them saved, healed, and delivered. Then we need his presence. How about this? Then in my home, there's a saving presence because he's there. In my car is the saving presence because he is there. We can incorporate this area in our life because if the Lord be with us, who can be against us? When I look today, we're justified by his grace. It wasn't the blood of bulls and goats, but his own precious blood. Number three, if you're taking notes, his presence is a separating presence. When I mean by that, how many knows that he'll hide you, but he'll also keep you? And then the truth is, for those who don't know him, one day it'll be depart from me. Do you know you've been separated for a purpose unto God? Now, he's not trying to say, hey, I don't care about others, but you've been called according to his purpose. That means I've separated you from the world to be like me. When I like that my God's able to keep me. How many of a good parent will keep some evil influences out of your kids' lives? Isn't that a good parent? Now, most children don't like that. They want to have their own friends. Don't tell me who I can be friends with. But sometimes a little wisdom is like, I know what's going to happen with this. That's why sometimes you got to let them make their decisions and Lord, touch them. Like all of us, sometimes we were boneheads. Okay, three of you are nodding your head. If you weren't, you're awesome. Maybe you learned ahead of time. But generally, sometimes mistakes and pain is a good teacher. One I don't recommend, but it does work. In Psalm 119, verse 114 says this, Thou art my hiding place, a shield. I hope in thy word. When I look in Isaiah 32, verse 2, And a man shall have a hiding place from the wind, an overhang for the tempest in rivers in dry places. When I look at Jesus, he'll hide us. In Psalm 31, verse 20, Thou shalt hide me in the secret of your presence. I love that. That I have a place of separation. Jesus said, Come away, my beloved. There are times at the end of your day or the beginning of your day, you need to come away to his presence. He'll hide you. He'll keep you. Do you know what? You're the most safe in God's presence. He's able to keep you from the enemy. Keep you from falling. Lord, let me have this separation. We need it. Sometimes we even need to be separated from our own thoughts. And you know what I'm talking about? How many know sometimes the battle can rage up here? How many ever had a vain imagination going on? This is going to happen, this is going to happen. It hasn't even happened yet. Or you're angry over something that hasn't even happened. You're just in that mode. Half of you, is that real? How many knows, Lord, even from me, Lord, help me. Let me have the mind of Christ. Lord, let me be separate. How about from when the enemy's hounding at your heels? Lord, let me be separate from that work. Sometimes your only hope is that area. Sometimes your only rest. Amen? Listen, each one of us need a quiet time. Remember what that was like? How many knows your phones can be a great distraction? It's a help, but it also can be a great distraction. Do you know what? There are clinics right now set up to help young people deal with over-excessive phone use. There are clinics for that now. How many knows that's a reality? Listen to me. Eyes down all the time. Looking. It's part of the culture. It's part of the life. Sometimes we need to unplug. That doesn't mean you don't care about people, but what is your time? Sometimes I need that separating presence. God, work it in. Should God have a time with you alone, then he deserves your separation and time alone. Because if you're talking to somebody else and talking to the Lord, somebody's getting shorted. How many knows the Lord has the time for you? He doesn't mind technology, but I can always see a perversion with it too. I can see always what God intended it to be, and the enemy tries to just infiltrate an area to make it bad. Amen? And let me say this to you. Where is the cloud at? There's a cloud. Your stuff is on the cloud. And now we need a cloud because the cloud is too cloudy. How many knows all your information sitting on somebody's server? It isn't just out there somewhere. When I look at that, sometimes we're so trusting in individuals that we don't even know what they're even doing with it. How many knows a one world government would be real easy? Come on. Everything is in place. It's already there. It's already instituted. It's like it's just waiting for that end. When the Holy Spirit lifts, Look out on planet Earth. Amen? Could you imagine if the Lord took every believer right now off this planet, what this planet would be like instantly? Amen. What number am I on? Just see if you're paying attention. Number four. His presence is a settling presence. In Exodus 33, verse 14, and he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. I love it when the Lord can settle the situation. And if you look at Egypt, think about it. They were enslaved to the Egyptians. And then God's going to call them out with a pastor that's never been a pastor before and lead 3+ million people out into a wilderness, not to the Holiday Inn, not to an established community. Are you with me? You're going to get take nothing but what you have with you. That's going to be your life. And I'm going to lead you to a place you've never been before. How many think, oh my gosh, is this going to work? How about Moses? Could you imagine, Lord, how am I going to feed all these people? Think about leadership there, how they had to, no wonder he said, I need God. Amen? But all his previous victories brought him to the place for a greater victory. Every time he confronted Pharaoh, there was another opportunity for God to show himself, I can do this for you. I mean, those every victory that you have will always prepare you for something greater. Never stop in that arena. There's world changers in here. One person said amen. We all need to say, you're absolutely right. You are a world changer. Your world may be your home or your people you associate with, but you're a world changer. I said you're a world changer. You can come to this church and be a world changer. You can be home and be a world changer. Sometimes we think so small. And all of a sudden God said this, hey, what's in your hand? Think about it. Every time he confronted Pharaoh, he had what was in his hand. He spoke a word. It's no different now. What I did there, do here. Touch the water. I think sometimes we need to be blown away by the miracles that are performed too. Amen? And I really believe this. The closer you get to the Lord, the more you start to walk in that area of leadership. How many knows they got to see the water part first? Hallelujah. Everyone's going to experience it and enjoy it. How many want to be a part of the miracle? Amen. I want to be part of the miracle. And then they walked through and God said, listen to me. I'm going to give you water and food in the desert. And here's how good I am. Your clothes are not going to wear out. Hopefully you had something nice to wear. You didn't mind the color because you're going to wear it for a while. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. That's incredible, especially in the desert. If you've ever been out to the desert, things don't last long. That heat tears up stuff. Yet I'm going to have an air-conditioned cover over you, a cloud by day, and then since you're going to get used to that, and night seems colder, even if it drops 20 degrees, seems cold, and then I'll have a fire by night to keep you warm, and that'll be with you every single day. I never want to get so used to the miracles and go, yeah, that's just God. How many knows if it happened every day, we can get so comfortable with it and not even think about it? They started to complain about the manna. I'm tired of the manna. God said, that's what you're going to need. That little wafer, that little golden gram was enough to sustain you. And on the weekend, you gathered twice as much because that's what I give you, enough for every day. Daily bread. Strike the rock. That rock will follow you. Water will come out of that. As much as you need will come out. That's impossibilities. Just getting them to survive took a whole lot of stuff. Yet they became ungrateful. We want meat. We want meat. And God said, okay, I'll give you what you want. And he flew in quail. And it says many of them passed because they gorged themselves too much. I mean, Lord, let me be satisfied with your provision. Amen? Because sometimes what I clamor for is not what I really need. And he's already showing himself in a miracle way already. I don't need to see it in another way. Hallelujah. I don't want to test him. Is this good tonight? I mean, God is able. He wants to meet your needs. And in the whole time, he was preparing them. Now, let me ask you this. If you could come out of Egypt, we all had to move, another country. God brought us through. And then he says this, I want you to go spy out the land. That's what I'm going to give you. That in these 40 days, take that and I'll give it to you soon. How many think that wouldn't be a very long time in your life? A few months, maybe, to wander through some things to deal with it. Yet they rejected it and had to deal with it for 40 years. See, even the Lord didn't want to go 40 years like that. He waited for them. All they had to do was walk by faith. You see my fire, you see my shelter, you see my provision. Walk in that, and I'll give you that. Say amen. I wonder how many times we miss the miracle because we don't like what he's doing. When we could walk right in. Hallelujah. How many want to walk right in? I don't want 40 years. But I'm also thankful that the Lord still remembers those who wanted to go. Joshua and Caleb still had the same strength as they had when they were young men. And I really see the Lord doing this. You guys, I know your heart. You wanted to go in. You're going to make it. You're going to have to deal with it for a while, but you're going to make it. Hallelujah. Enjoy tonight? How many want to settle in his presence? I said, how many want to settle in his presence? Psalm 55, verse 6, he says, oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I would fly away and be at rest. When he says this all the time, peace be still. Even when they were upset after the resurrection, they were all freaked out about Jesus. He comes into the room and says, peace be still. Listen, when you get to heaven, how many think you're going to be over anxious? How many when you get to heaven, you're going to be worried? You're going to like, oh no, man, I don't know. How many are going to sit there and look? It's like, I'm at the bus stop, Lord, and nobody's here to pick me up. I don't believe any of us will have that fear. Because the Lord knows, amen? It says, precious is the death of his saints. And since God knows everything, he's already arranging stuff even before that happens that even you know. Hallelujah. He'll take care of it. Amen. Because he's finally, well, you're finally home. I can't wait. I believe this with all my heart. He can't wait to see you face to face like you can't wait to see him face to face. What a reunion that will be. Think about it. One day, let's fast forward 100 years for all of us. Probably all of us but me. Listen to me. I'm going to live to be 167. Okay? And Bob will live to be 191. How many of us, in 100 years, we're all there. Every one of us. How many of us, that's going to be unbelievably precious. That the relationships we started here will continue there. Amen? I'm not going to get to heaven and go, don't know you. How many of us know? You're going to know. I want to learn everyone's name in heaven. And since I got a forever to do it, I think I'm going to be able to accomplish it. It may take a while, but bless God, I'm going to use all my brain. When somebody said we only use like 10% of my brain, I use all my brain now. Yep. Say amen. I'm not confessing that. Then I'm 90% dumb and only 10% working? No! I'm 100% working, baby. I may not be the sharpest axe in the box, but bless God, I'm using what I got. Hallelujah. Say, God's good. Number five, his presence is a satisfying presence. Oh, I love this. He's a satisfying presence. In Psalm 16, verse 11, you shall show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Even in heaven, the Lord doesn't mind you having pleasures forevermore. I believe that with all my heart. I do. If this makes you happy and it isn't sin, the Lord will grant that. Isn't that awesome? He's not a stingy father. He's not there to go, you know, nope, can't have it. You're not going to have any fun. Go sit in the corner. I'll get to you in a minute. Amen? Now, I kind of hope we can eat in heaven. Without calories. Amen? but enjoy the taste. We'll see. But if I have a request, I'd like to eat in heaven. Amen? Could you imagine all the great chefs that's went before us? Amen? Come on. Got to live somewhere. How about all the great artists that have went before us? The great musicians that went before us? The great psalmists? Heaven's going to be filled with people. And then your gifting will be there too. Well, I'm not good at anything. Yes, you are. You're probably the most gifted. God's going to use everything in these days. And think about the company you're going to keep. None of your stuff will ever be stolen. Amen? Somebody tried to break into our shed in the back. It was early morning, about 9:30. Somebody drove their car under the driveway or under the grass right up to the shed, tried to break the lock off. The neighbor caught him and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" Guy jumps in his car and takes off. Amen? I mean, it was even at church, it's not safe. But pray, Lord, save them. Amen? How many of those, when you're drug-induced, you'll do some pretty crazy stuff? Lord, touch them. Amen? Well, you couldn't get anything. And there's, can I be honest with you? There's not a whole lot out there you can, you're welcome to it. Amen? Take some props. Amen? Then I got to move them around or whatever. Say, God's good. How many of those, he's a satisfying presence. Nehemiah 8, verse 10, he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those who have nothing to prepare. For the day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be sorrowful, the joy of the Lord is your strength." He's so satisfying. Listen to me, you can't be more satisfied than being with your God. It's like a great joy and peace. Oh man, it's so good. When I got saved, I realized that, man, I've been tasting from the wrong well. Taste and see that he is good. Amen? And there's no hangover with Jesus. Hallelujah. Number 6, if you take notes. His presence is a supplying presence. I said a supplying presence. That God will bless accordingly. In Ezekiel 34, verse 26, "And I'll make the places around about him a blessing, a hill of blessing. I will cause showers to come down in his seasons and showers of blessings upon." I love that, that there are seasons. Now, who in here has ever been caught in a rainstorm without an umbrella? Or just what you had on? How many ever got really soaked to the bone? I mean, your shoes wet, you're just wet. You ever notice it just doesn't go away right away? How many knows you're saturated? How many ever got in your vehicle and made your seats wet? Especially those old cloth or velour interiors. I mean, it's there. It's just there. And after a while, it's like, it just doesn't matter anymore. You're just wet. Getting to that place was a bother. But once you're soaked, man, you're soaked. Amen? I become one with the rain. How many want to have those showers of blessing on your life? Oh, Lord, let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it saturate to the place where I not only have enough, but I have enough to give away. Amen? I would love to be able to give away 90% and live on 10. Anybody here? I mean, that's a fruitful life. Lord, let me be that. Let me be that type of blessing. But the truth is, the Lord get it to you? Can he get it through you? Sometimes when we get blessed, he's the last one that's considered. Oh, awful quiet. Remember him when God gives you increase, the Bible says. He'll make room for more. Amen. When I look at Jesus in Hosea 6, verse 3, "Then you shall know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. He will come to us as the rain, as the former and the latter rain upon the earth." Notice if we come to follow on to know the Lord. Knowing him means there's an intimacy. It isn't just facts and figures. A lot of people can do that. But you know him. You're intimate with God. He says you're coming in and you're going out will be blessed. Amen? Like the rain that comes down. Rain has a way to get in everything. Now, I have a pole barn where I live. And I have these little ground squirrels. They are like the nuisance of nuisance. Part of my driveway and where it's at is gravel. Gravel. Like rocks about maybe 3/4 inch. This ground squirrel has dug a hole next to the foundation through the gravel It's 6 inches deep. Underneath the foundation. Now, most pole barns really don't have a big rat wall. They're just more of a slab. And he's dug a place and he's dug a channel under the concrete. That when I come up to there, I'm like, dude, I just filled that hole in. Honestly. I kick rocks in it. I stomp on it. Next day, it's open. Well, we had a big rain the other day. And somehow, his channel has moved underneath about 5 feet under the cement. And now the water's coming up through the concrete. How many of us, that little bugger? Taste and see that he may be lunch. Amen? It's like, I can't believe that this little guy can do that much damage and dig that much out. But I followed his trail. Well, how many of us, you need to take sometimes dominion? I'm going to take dominion over the little guy. Amen? Now, if that bothers you, sorry. But he's tearing up my house. Amen? But sometimes you have to deal with stuff. I mean, sometimes you just got to deal with stuff. Yeah. You may rake your yard and your neighbor does it and all the leaves go in your yard. Yeah. Doesn't stay in his yard, goes in your yard. Yeah. Hopefully you're not that neighbor. You are? All right, we'll pray for you, brother. At least he's honest about it. The truth is that there is always stuff, but I want the blessing of Abraham to be upon us. How many want to receive that area? There are times that we're dry. We need that saturation. We need that provision. And then sometimes, you know what? You just got to deal with it. My wife had all these nice hostas planted around the house. The other day, me and her walked around the house. Every single one of them, the deer, have eaten all of them off. Right like a mow. Like they mowed them down. She comes out and goes, look, they're all gone. I'm like, dude. How many of those deer are pretty, but they also do a lot of destructive work. Yeah. Amen? How many like venison? I don't know if I can shoot in my neighborhood, but amen. The truth is that those little guys, hey, I like them, they're pretty, but they eat up stuff. In life, sometimes the simplest things may cost the most. But you know what? In heaven, you're going to have no gas bill. There's no electric bill. Amen. There's no handicapped parking spaces. Amen. There's no pharmacies. Hallelujah. I'm going to make this daring thing. There'll be no eyeglasses. Yes. Say amen. Yes. I mean, it was God's going to restore all things. I don't see Adam having a pair of eyeglasses on. I don't read that. The truth is that that's part of the curse. Things break down. One day that'll be done. Amen. Yes. Which leads me to this, number 7. His presence is a sanctifying presence. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 through 31, it talks about God has chosen us, even the foolish, to confound the wise. The weak things to take on those that are mighty. The base things for those things that he can despise and move on from. But no flesh will glory in his presence. When I look to him, I get sanctified. That means I'm being cleansed from all unrighteousness. You can't get into God's presence and not stay the same. Instantly, the Holy Spirit begins to work on you, and that's a good thing. All of us have things that need to change. How many agree with me there? Come on, there are areas that we need to change. In verse 30, this verse says this, unto him is Jesus Christ, who is God, made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. In Hebrews 13, verse 12, wherefore also he might sanctify his own people, cleansed by his blood, who suffered without the gate. When I get in his presence, there's that sanctifying work. We need to rub off with one another too. When we come together, we need to walk more holy because you're walking holy. It should spur us on. Amen? Come on, it should spur us on. Like, man, you're living for God. I want to live for God. We should look at one another and say, you know what? I'm going to strive to have this in my heart. I want a church that strives to live for God. Amen. And if we blow it, you know, be quick to repent. Deal with it, get it right. But keep serving him. The longer I serve him, the more I should be like him. Now, years are not a factor in maturity in the kingdom. Because you could be saved for 40 years and still be immature. But hopefully 40 years of serving the Lord brought some maturity. Amen? and our seasoned saints, those that are struggling to get around, you know, rise in their presence. Show the respect. Amen? They've probably done some things that we haven't. We need to hold that up. Hallelujah. But I'm sanctified. Well, like Passion of Faith. That's why I appreciate the men's and women's ministries, the life groups. It's another opportunity to get with people of like passion and faith. Amen. We can encourage one another on. In fact, we know each other's weaknesses. There are times in the men's group that men will share things that may not share in other areas. But men can pray for one another. Women can pray for one another. Those are encouraging things. Amen. Amen. Come on, we've all had experiences. We've all had times of trials, but also great victory. Yeah. But I've learned that, man, when I'm with him, I begin to change. I begin to change. I want to change. I don't want to be the same. And you know what else I want to see? I want to see miracles now. I want to see them now. I want to see them when I pray now. Is that too much to ask? I'm going to see them now. Jesus saw miracles now. Then I want to see that area. I want you to begin to believe for those things. That no matter what people need, listen to me, we look past what the need is. Sometimes you just need to shut out your eyes and say, I don't need to see the need, I just need to see my God. My God's able to. He never was freaked out no matter what he faced. But was Jesus pure? Yes or no? How many say he was pure? Jesus could have sinned. Do you know that? But how many said he chose to trust his Father? He was tempted in every way, yet without sin. Even when the greatest temptations were brought to him, he said, it is written. Notice he didn't try to challenge it in his own natural ability. He went to the word, it's written. He trusted his Father, it's written. And God will help. I don't know how many times even the angelic host has helped us, but I have to believe sometime in our life they've even helped. They came and ministered unto Jesus. How many of those God will surround you too? Now don't pray to angels. And please don't do this. Tell me you see them every day because I don't believe that either. It's part of a supernatural kingdom. Now they can manifest and we can greet them unaware. I'm kind of hoping that when we get to heaven go, oh dude, you were an angel? Oh man. I hope that isn't reality there. But the truth is that, listen to me, if you trust in angels more than Jesus, it's out of balance. It's out of balance. Now, God can bring things to mind. He can reveal things. There's no doubt about it. I remember one time I was preaching, and the Lord said to me, listen to me, I've surrounded you with my angelic host. And I felt a presence come in the room. It's like they were warrior angels as the message was being delivered. Now, I didn't see them. And my angels are not this big. My angels are not fat babies that float on clouds and have harps in their hands. They're warrior angels. Say amen. Amen. Come on. If you read scripture, one angel slew 144,000 in a night. That's a pretty bad dude. Amen. No, my angel's a little baby. Mama, I got to carry my angel around. Give me a break. That isn't helping me much. I got to carry my angel. Say amen. But every one of them does the Lord's bidding. So he's able to dispatch them when needed. When you have a spiritual foe whom you can't see, he's able to work in those arenas. They fight for those righteousness. They fight for the saints. I mean, that's pretty awesome. Yes. Amen? You're not alone in this battle. Then Lord, we need to walk by faith. I said, we need to walk by faith. Amen. Sometimes our imagination can kick in and add more to Scripture than what's really there. Oh, I can preach that too. Jesus said, don't add to it. Paul gave us the best thing. He goes, I saw the third heavens. He goes, I saw things. I can't even put to words what I saw. Amen. John the Revelator gave us probably the best description of heaven of any person in Scripture. He explained what he saw. He wrote it down to make it plain. You want to know what heaven's like? Look in the book of Revelation. Say amen. How many of those you can see? The book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. He's written about, but every page is a revelation of Jesus Christ. What God's going to do. How he's going to work it out. Are you enjoying tonight? Listen, the Lord's good. He'll sanctify them. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. When I look at that sanctifying power, it begins to work in me and change me. One word of God will begin to work in that area. If you're struggling in your thought life, Lord, I want to have a sound mind. And get the word working in that area. Meditate upon the word. One scripture will do you good. Amen? It's better than the vitamin of the day, but God will speak to you and help you. But when we come together, there's righteousness in this room. Do you know Jesus was waiting for us to gather this evening? I'm glad you're here. It's another encounter with God today. You will never regret being in the house of God. We're one more Wednesday closer of meeting Jesus face to face. Come on, we're one more closer. You'll never regret the times you spent with the Lord. Those are good things. How about with one another? I was encouraged tonight to see John walk in. I saw him leave this morning with a walker in pain. And I love it. He's coming back. Let's believe that he won't even have that cane anymore. Hallelujah. How many of us, there's progression in that? And Lord, I want to have that. However you do it, I want it. I want it. Lord, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I've learned that you get the big things done, then you start working on the little foxes that spoil the vine. Lord, let me have that too. Amen? You don't need no chipmunks chewing on your stuff or digging holes where they don't need to be. Amen? I'm going to taste and see that he's good. No, just kidding. I won't eat it. But God is good. You enjoy this evening? Amen? This coming Sunday, I'm going to continue part two on shaking, sifting, shaking, and breaking. That the Lord is doing a work today. And he's going to do it through us. I got an illustration I'll be breaking out on Sunday. How many want to go through that sifting process? Yes. That when he tries me, I'll come forth as gold. And how many are changing in here? Be honest. How many see the Lord working in you? Yes. You know, and I know we're all at different places in that, but I see the Lord working in us. And that's a good thing. Yes. It also makes us prepared to receive the world when God begins to move supernaturally in that arena too. Do you know what he's going to? He's going to save to the uttermost. His church will be more glorious in the latter days than it was in the former. And what I read in the former was pretty awesome. Then, Lord, it's going to be greater. How many see that we're one step away from everything just either going together or going haywire? We need to pray for our country, too. All these schisms, all this stuff is just a diversion of the enemy. Then we need to get back to the main thing. And what is the main thing? Hallelujah. He's the main thing. Amen. You enjoy tonight? If you would, lift your hands towards heaven. I want to bless you. Father, a blessing on this congregation. That, Lord, it's your presence, Lord. Lord, as Moses said, Lord, if your presence don't go before us, we're not going. Like Joshua said, if your presence don't go before us, we're not going. So, Lord God, your presence will go before us. Jesus, you've done it. And Lord God, make us aware, Lord God, let us have that mindset that we can think on you daily, to have our conversation with you. That, Lord, we know if we're with you, Lord God, who can be against us? So your blessing on this congregation, meet every need in each home. Lord, thank you for the testimonies. Lord, we believe for more that's going to come. In Jesus' precious name, amen.